like pearls of silver. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. They may offer unto the Lord an offering of true righteousness.
Broadcast the Overcomer, and this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. From Baltimore, South Carolina, we bring you a message and proclamation of the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My servant, I want you this day to speak unto my people and unto the United States of America. For the day of her judgment has now come up before me, and it's time that I must move against this nation and against those within her ranks who call themselves my people.
Calamity, tragedy on tragedy, and evil upon evil, and destruction on destruction will be upon this place, saith the Lord. Hear me, world. I send unto you prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't hear them, neither would they hear though one rose from the dead. I sent unto you prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe them, neither would they believe though one rose from the dead.
Therefore, saith the Lord God, it is now the time that I have spoken, and it shall come to pass, saith God, when throughout all the world there will be chaos, there will be floods and famines and earthquakes and fires and plagues on every side. You have chosen to serve Satan, so therefore, at the hand of Satan, you shall enjoy his benefits of sin and destruction and death and dying. You have chosen him as your God and not the Almighty Yahweh, and Satan comes only to kill and to destroy and to rob, and so shall it be. No longer shall it be prolonged.
Hear this prophet in everything, and brother and sister, believe me, there's too many of you that's not listening. I just received an email from a gentleman. I responded right away to him. His name is Daniel. Isn't that nice? My name is Daniel, and I'm having trouble speaking the right words right now due to emotions. Wow, did I see that unfold? Emotional. Huh? Very highly emotional. And, people that have these ups and downs with their emotions. Up one day, down the next, in one time, out the next. Tossed to and fro by every little damnable thing that goes to their mind. He says, I figure it'd be best to write you as I feel more comfortable to speak this way. Okay, well, I got it. I've been going through very profound change in my life. Now, the reason I am reading this email, everybody who is drawn to hear this prophet, I don't know anyone that is not in intensified persecution and tribulation, and even from their own self, they do themselves harm. They do it, and it's amazing, because this is the kind of spirit that's on this world today. Jesus really had to work very hard at the end of his life to preserve that 11, and he worked very hard to preserve the 12th one by letting him be in the dark all the while he was on the earth, and then revealed himself to him after he was resurrected. Of course, we know why he did that, because Paul was the apostle that established the resurrection. He was the apostle that believed that whether in Christ a Jew or Greek, made no difference, that he was going to raise us from the dead. But why did he suffer for that? Did he suffer persecution, anxiety, and everything? I've been going through a very profound change in my life, Brother Stair. Because of the profound changes I've had made in my life, I've been in search for the Lord for 3 years now. You see, you've made the changes. And you can't do that. A leper can't change his spots. You can't add 1 inch to your statue. You need to be changed, but you can't change yourself. You can't do it. That would give you a little credibility for something you've done. And that's not the way true Christians are going to be made perfect. It's what God has done and what Christ is doing. I was running away without knowledge of me doing so, okay? So you're beginning to learn. As I was searching for God in myself and not through Jesus. Many bipolar episodes, we know about that, led me to the point of either giving my life away or taking it myself because I had learned so much, yet have not learned faith. It was not until God directed me to find your radio station that I found what I was missing, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now, is that going to make my enemies furious? That God would use this crude, unorthodox, uneducated, undocumented man of God to touch the heart of a hungry soul and speak or give a glass of water. I've listened to you every day now for many hours throughout the day for about 3 weeks now. I have since given myself and my life to the Lord. I'm still learning to live in complete faith as I pray to Jesus to guide me. Do you see why God even brought you where you were? Do you understand most of you people out there, you don't know how to live by faith. You've learned how to live in the American economy and the American way of life. You've learned how to trust in the riches of this world, and you have no idea what you to do in order to have faith in God. I just like I was talking to that sister the other day, what are we going to do, Brother Stair? What are we going to do? And I tried to tell you, I really have. And somebody would say, well, but you can't say that because you're down there, you got a nice house, and you got all, yeah, but brother and sister, how did I get here? What brought me here? How did I come this far? Well, I didn't have any money when I came. We didn't have no farm. We had just made an arrangement to buy a motel complex, and we didn't have the money to pay for it. When we put the down payment on the motel, we wrote a check for $10,000 with no money in the bank, and God worked a miracle. And finally, when the money was needed, it was there. We've done that from point one as we obeyed God. Oh, many ups and downs, ins and outs. I have been through very difficult trials of faith, and we're going to all go through even more, which has strengthened my faith. That's what it does. You fight the fight of faith, and then you win. The Lord has instructed me to sell all my belongings and get ready to leave. As instructed with God's people in faith, they are found. Good. Now, may God direct you, brother. I did write the brother back and I said, look, don't you just show up over here in South Carolina. This is not heaven. This is not the end of the matter. Everybody can't come over here. We are not able to take care of you. Only God can take care of you. And somebody said, well, you're always trying to get people to move to South Carolina. I am not. I am not. We have people who came here because God brought them here. But every time they come, they're tried. We're not going to. Nobody comes on these grounds and says, I'm going to live here with you. No. I've said it to you over and over again. No man joined himself to the church. You don't join yourself. You don't decide this is what you want to do. Because most of the time when you do that, just a little bit after you make your decision, then you get discontent because it don't turn out the way you think it ought to be. And then we have to deal with you want to leave or make it undue demands. No, it's not going to be like that. I read on. I praise and thank the Almighty Lord for leading me to His prophet. I thank you, Jesus Christ, for forgiving my sins and opening my eyes so that I may hear truth when truth is spoken. I thank you for giving me strength when strength is needed. And I thank you, Brother Stair, for leading me to the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you, Daniel. And he's not going to leave you as long as you don't leave him. Stay walking in the faith. Now, it's like, well, Brother Stair, just what are we going to do? You know how many years I've talked about that? Huh? What do you think I've been doing all these years when I tell you about the mark of the beast and the New World Order and the financial situation, the collapse of the dollar? What do you think I've been trying to get you people to understand? Why do you think I keep mentioning the mark of the beast? I tell you why. Because that is the dividing line. That is the final act of God to separate his people from the world and for his people to separate themselves from the world. Jesus Christ, in order that he might sanctify or separate or dedicate his people, in order that he might sanctify the church, the body, he went without the camp. He went without the established way of living. People live on money. Jesus, he didn't have any money. He didn't carry a bag. The one that did carry a bag gave him some trouble. Somebody said to me some years ago when I started to preach like this, Brother Stair, when the mark of the beast comes and you can't buy or sell or you won't get any money, how are you going to pay your taxes? Because you must realize that one of the main things that the New World Order is going to do is going to raise taxes. They're going to tax everything and all things to support their agenda. They raised taxes in Jesus' day when he was born. How did he make it? How did he do it? Why, his father Joseph, his natural father, was warned by an angel, get up and get out of here and move quickly because Herod is going to seek the child's life. And in the middle of the night, old Joseph took Mary and Jesus and away he went. Ladies and gentlemen, the mark of the beast, it's going to have to do with economics, with buying and selling. What part of your life anymore have you been able to live without the buying and selling? And I tell people, we came over here and God helped us to get this piece of farm. We don't have to go to town to buy food. We don't have to sell food, and we don't. We don't have to do none of that. We don't need money to buy and sell to eat. We don't need money to go on a highway. If we go on a highway, we have to use gas, but we don't even have to do that. You know, when Noah got in the ark, he didn't have to worry about the flood outside. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got put into the fiery furnace, they didn't have to be concerned about the fire being so hot and the people outside, because the Lord was with them. When are you going to understand that, brothers and sisters? You got to take the Lord with you. Then you can stand. On my journey on this trip here, coming to South Carolina, step by step, I went astray many times. Almost committed suicide one time in my self-will. In my personal life, I got messed up and I got really depressed and I didn't have any money. I had God tell me to go to China. He told me to go to Russia. Then he told me he was going to send me to Pope of Rome. Well, he did send me to China. And I remember that. I didn't know how to go. I just didn't know how to do it. I really didn't. Oh, my. And then God made the way. He really made the way. Got us in China, miraculously. Got us back out, miraculously. Got us into Cuba, miraculously. This is over 20-some years ago. Got us back out. Then got us into the Soviet Union. Then he told me that the Soviet Union would be no more. It's no more. I'm only telling you these things because these are things that I told you. I've had to move by faith. I've had to obey God, and sometimes I was in disobedience, and then I would have to be chastised and scourged to be brought where I am today. And to think that people who stay around me family and friends, and they watch God sustain me, forgive me, and love me, and send me forth, and they still rise up against me. They'll still do it. And when I warn them, you're not going to do that. You might nail me to a cross. You might wound me one more time, but you're not going to get away with it. You're just not. And I've often said this, that part of the problem with people that became acquainted with this ministry and packed up and left and went their own way is they don't know how to humble themselves, or they don't want to humble themselves. The prodigal son, he went out, demanded what he thought was his. Give me that portion of goods. Give me my rights. Let me have my own way. Give me that which belongs. Don't you see what I've earned because I've been here, I've done that? Give me that portion of good that belongs to me. And he went out, broke the father's heart, but the father let him go. Never went after him. But the prodigal son, when he came to himself, that's the problem, isn't it? You don't want to deal with yourself. You want to blame your situation and your circumstances on everybody else. But it's you. It's you. Your iniquity. Your sins and your iniquity. You're letting them separate you from God. Well, my friend, believe me, this is almost 10 o'clock here on Friday, the 6th of December. Sixth, the number of man. And boy, had the old man showed himself today. May 7th come along here very quickly and help us to move into that Sabbath day, to that rest in God, and stop fighting ourselves and fighting with someone else, and fight the fight to keep faith, to do and to obey and to submit. In Jesus' name, I pray. One voice crying in the wilderness. One man doing what he had been called to do. Thank God he's helped me to be faithful. That for what God has shown me down through the years, that we are right there at the time period when the man of sin, which will be Satan in a man, and then flooding all men with demonic powers, and they'll rule and domineer the world for 3.5 years, warring with the saints. We must, in order for us to have a hope, is to get a revelation of that time so that we can be hold steadfast, as Brother Timothy preached some time ago, just a little while longer. It's going to be a time of great endurance, great suffering, great persecution. Many shall be made white and tried and purified. And even many of them will not understand why they're going through, but going through they will. The brother comes and says here, now, the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is coming up here pretty soon as we start the feast days here with the Passover here somewhere in April, and looking for some significant happenings to take place for the body of Christ to get a perspective of time during this time. Then the fall feast will be the Feast of Trumpets. And there's no telling what we are going to see at the upheaval of prophecy and events throughout the world bring us to that timely period of time. The brother writes, I had a friend check the date for the Feast of Trumpets on his computer for the year 2017. Now, I don't quite understand all of the numbering here, but he said potentially key dates for important spiritual and geopolitical events. One will be March the 10th. Another will be September 21st, 2014. September 21st, 2015. September 21st, 2016. And the September 21st, 2017 Feast of Trumpets. And he got these days in here, 12,000, 1,290 days, and then 1,335 days. Now, what I believe that the brother's trying to tell us is by calculation and things like that, they pretty well come to the point that, let me read this. If we are correct that a generation is 70 years and that the last generation began on May 14th, 1948, then the revelation appearance of the Antichrist must be early in the year of 2014, or we will surpass the 70-year period. Well, that's a good speculation, brother, a good assertion, a good assumption, and you mark it down, my dear friend. I am very diligently hoping to keep my heart and mind and spirit open as we come to Passover and to April of this year. The Pope is scheduled to be in Jerusalem right around that time. Mr. Obama may make a trip there or in that area. The Yasser Arafat and them people are talking about having a war with Iran, and Jerusalem is going to become truly a trembling stone for all the events happening in the Middle East. Don't discount the Pope. I tried to tell you that. The Catholic Church has always believed that the Middle East, Jerusalem, and Israel should be domineered by the Christian faith. That's why the Crusades were sent out years ago. And now they're using another method, and of course they're very powerful. You can't ignore them. I do believe that before this peace is settled there in Israel, that you will see the Temple Mount diplomatically divided between the Muslims, between Israel, and apostate Christianity, with the Catholic Church heading it up as an international city and governed it by the control of their money and their army. Wouldn't that be something? Have a Swiss guard there, huh? Peace, peace, peace. And they will enter in peacefully, and that's the truth. Lord Jesus, keep us awake, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So many things have been projected in the Word of God. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2 and verse 2, "And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it." In Jeremiah 11 and 11, "Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape, though they shall cry out to me, I will not hearken unto them." Doesn't that coincide with the words in the New Testament? When they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. We are at that period of time, friends, the destruction from the Almighty, set up by sending the destroyer, Satan, and giving him dominion and power over all the earth. And it's given unto him to make war with the saints. Woe be unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down unto you by divine permission and command, having great wrath, for he knoweth he hath but a short time. Take heed to yourselves, huh? Our dear brother writes, "I do want to exhort all of you to not be lukewarm believers. The lukewarm do not go into the kingdom." Do you understand that, brother and sister? "Because you are lukewarm," God said, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." If you really want to get into the kingdom, cease to be lukewarm. Stop loving the world and the things of the world, and spend more time on God and loving him. Brothers, a great shock is going to come to Christians when so many are not ready and don't get in. Don't deceive yourself. Don't let the devil tell you it's okay to be lukewarm. The way to hellfire is by being lukewarm, for there will be many a churchgoer down there. Many will seek to enter, but they'll not be able. Christ wants people hot or cold, not lukewarm. God is not going to care about many services you attended, or how many sermons you hear, or how respected you are in the church. The question will be, are you on fire for God? Is the fire of God burning in your soul? Or are you absolutely cold? Luke 21. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, overindulgence, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch you therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. The best way, the only way to escape, is to be in Christ, be protected in the pavilion, and that when Jesus comes, we will stand in that judgment. Getting into the kingdom, is that overriding your most important consideration to you? Don't lie to yourself. God knows your heart. Don't try and convince me. I can see how far many Christians live in these evil times. Their hearts, their lives, and their calendars are overcharged with the cares of this life. Just keep this in mind. Self-deceit, righteous brother, is a tool of the devil. It's one of the hardest for the victim to spot. Some time ago, I told the people of God who listened to me that when Jesus said, if it were possible for this great tribulation that we're about ready to endure, that if it were possible, it would deceive even, in other words, going to deceive everybody, but even the very elect, if the very elect are going to permit themselves to be deceived. How would that be about? I remember inquiring of the Lord, what would be possible to deceive the very elect? He said, when they would deceive themselves, when they lie to themselves. He that thinketh he is something, thinks he's saved, thinks he's in the kingdom, when he really is not prepared or to endure, deceiveth himself. Where will you be when the last trumpet sounds? Where will you be when this final time period begins to unfold? Are you one that's been destined to be alive and remain? Then you've got a real battle on your hands, a fight of faith that must be fought. You adulterers and you adulteresses, know you not that to be a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God? The devil and Sodom. Long time I spoke to you about adultery and fornication, and I tried to make you grasp the spiritual application of adultery. The adultery of spiritual application is when you're unfaithful to God. And fornication means you have adjoined yourself to another belief or another God. These are very, very, very spiritual degradation. They all now are coming to point into homosexuality. Homosexuality, the spirit of this age, part of the agenda to reduce population. We not only have physical homosexuality, we have spiritual homosexuality. And we find churches joining with each other. We find ideology joining with each other. Even though they don't agree, they agree that they're going to be against God. A spiritual agenda, brothers. There is a spirit behind this homosexual rights movement. And when the political correct mask comes off,
you are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
All the people from every quarter, and they came out and banged on Lot's door wanting to commit sodomy with the angel messengers or blasphemy against Almighty God. That's what the sin of Solomon is. Blasphemy. Absolute blasphemy against God. And nothing more blasphemous than the religious system of our day that's banging on.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the international worldwide broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the last day prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, comes into your country, your place, on this frequency at this time, every day. I would like to just give some information on how you can help us to continue this broadcast. One way is to contact us. Somehow let us know where you are and what you're listening at or what frequency you're tuned into or what source of broadcast. One worldwide way to check in with us is to go to our website if you have the opportunity to go to our website. There on the website is a contact page that you can click on, send me an email. There on the website also is information concerning the Overcomer broadcast. The website is very simple. You just go to www.overcomerministry. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. And like I say, just explore the website, go to our contact page, and send me an email if you like. I'd appreciate it. Another way is to give us a telephone call if you have access to the phone. Our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. I'd appreciate it if you're listening at this time on this particular frequency or station, you just take the time to contact us even now if you can. Remember, the website is www.overcomerministry.org. The phone number is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. When you call, an answering machine will answer. You'll get a short greeting from me. Then you may begin to speak. You have 2 minutes. Give us your message, your information, or your questions. God bless you. Jesus is coming. This is important for you to know as you hear this broadcast for which we broadcast here on this station. Prepare to meet your God. The website is very simple. Just go to www.overcomerministry.com. Comer Ministry. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. Maranatha.
The door and saying, let us be in when they're workers of iniquity. These are dangerous times, writes our dear brother. I know the number of real Christians in the West is rapidly dwindling. So very few. Yes, you have lots of religious people, lots of people playing church, and many other false brethren who talk the talk, but they're not walking the walk, although they put on a pretty good front. We're all struggling against our adversary. He likes to turn us against each other. He likes us to play God, and that's tragic. God uses imperfect people. He has to, because there are no perfect people, not one. Every Christian who thinks they have a right to judge those whom he has called to do any work of ministry, you better take heed. Careful, careful heed, lest he take you home before your time. And you go home with a third-degree burn and the smell of smoke. How careful how you judge those that God has put in power today to work out his purpose, Mr. Obama, the Pope, or someone else. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and they're there because God has turned them loose. You better be careful how you judge someone that God has given a special calling or a special outreach. That radio preacher that you heard bad things about, don't judge. You don't have all the facts. Even those of you who think you do, you don't. You want to argue about it? Buy your crutches, your eye patches, and head wound ointment now. Because, my friend, God is going to stand behind his work and his calling and his anointing to perform it. As I have said so many times, there's only one sin that cannot be forgiven. I said that cannot be forgiven. And the reason it cannot be forgiven is because you will not have faith to believe that God will forgive you. Once you fall into the sin of unbelief, then you don't believe God for anything or believe anyone about anyone. The devil wants your faith. It's the most prized target, the trial of your faith. Once he gets that, he's got you. Sin, too, is a major problem. Idolatry is a greater one. But unbelief and a lack of faith is always fatal. You'll never overcome idolatry or any other sin if you're in unbelief. As the days pass, keep this in mind. For he's going to be relentlessly on his attacks to destroy your faith or to cause you to give it up. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith and love in you? Or are you pointing a finger in the spirit of self-righteous spirituality while you slumber at the spiritual wheel? And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That is a good word. For above all things, have fervent charity among you, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. The overlooked command of God. I remember the day God gave it to me. Joshua 1, verses 5 and 6. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. My dear brothers and sisters throughout the world, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and there is a place for the redeemed in that glorious kingdom. Unto them that overcome will I grant to sit on my throne, even as I have overcome and am set on my Father's throne. And the Spirit and the bride, from the earnestness of their heart, are crying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm listening to these men, such as MacArthur and others, Jimmy Young, whatever these guys are, telling us that people who take the mark of the beast can reverse that decision after they do it and still be saved. I just heard one of them say, that's not the unpardonable sin. You're a damn liar, sir, and you're going to be damned for lying. And of course, you're not going to believe that. You perverted, distorted, corrupt men. Men of corrupt mind. Anyone and everyone who takes the mark of the beast is going to be eternally and forever damned. And anybody teaching you, as a Christian, that you don't have to be concerned about taking it or refusing it, that you're going to be caught out and you're going to go to heaven, is teaching and preaching a damnable heresy, a lie, period. There is no reproof of that, friend. This whole world, the men, I'll tell you something, destitute. These men don't know truth. They don't know Christ, and Christ doesn't know them. And I only mention it because so many of you are finding solace in that lie. And preachers are even now in the pulpits telling people, it's all right to take this RFID chip, or because that's not the mark. Does anybody really know what the mark is? Oh, yeah, it's just in your head or in your hand. No, friends. It is going to be a literal mark on your body. It doesn't have to be the RFID chip, but some of you people don't realize that that chip is so small that they have now found a way to just put it like in a tattoo on your body and have the electronic, you are something, I'll tell you. Ever learning, huh? They have, that thing is so small, and it's filled with data of you. And by the way, if you're waiting for them to give you your number, there is not a person on this earth today who has not already has your number. They have your number. You are already numbered. And all they want to do is put that number on your body where it can be seen or detected by a image reading machine, like the scanners. And as you walk around, they'll be able to keep track of you, what you do, where you go. And if you can't believe that, then you are just willingly ignorant. Walk into any gigantic store anywhere and see thousands, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100,000 different items there. They all have their own number, and many of them were produced in countries where we think that there's no intelligence. Haiti, for instance, Jamaica, Indonesia, China, and all of these products have their own number coming in from everywhere in the world, sent right in, and they're tracked from beginning to end. And you're waiting for them to develop the technology? They already have it, and you're already numbered. They got your number one way or the other, and they're going to use that number. Just like you go to get your Social Security or Medicaid or food stamps, you got to bring out your number. They're using cards and other things now, but they are going to fix it so no one can steal your number unless they cut off your hand, which they might even do then, or cut it out of your head. Number, huh? The Bible says there's a multitude that has been down through the years who will come out of great tribulation, a multitude which no man can put his number on. There you got it. A remnant of people who will not be numbered by man or receive the number of the man. The ones who have gone and come out of and through great tribulation into the kingdom of heaven. I sit here just, I'm astonished, I'm amazed, I'm distressed at how so few of you have determined not to hear what the Spirit's saying, and so you're in delusion, and you're trying to find an escape route. And your only escape is to run to Christ. There is a people that will be alive. And I'm not talking about Jewish people. I'm talking about a remnant of the elect, a small remnant who have been determined, predetermined by Almighty God to be alive and remaining. The Apostle Paul made it very clear. We which are alive and remain, we will not prevent or get into the kingdom before those who have died. Because when that time comes, the trumpet will sound, the dead will rise first. Sown in corruption, now raised in incorruption. So they rise. And now they are on this earth with those who are alive and have remained. And then we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as we rise to meet the Lord in the air on His way coming back to earth. No one is going to be taken to heaven. There is no 7 years in heaven. When we finally go to heaven, it will be for eternity. What is going to happen in this next 1,000 years that's going to burst upon us with the glorious rising of the Son of Righteousness is that we are going to live with Christ on this earth, and heaven will be here on earth. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Anybody hear me? Is anyone here at all? Is there anyone out here that hears what the Spirit's saying to the churches? Are you in the church? Do you know the truth? Do you have the Spirit of truth? When you hear it, do you receive it? Because they receive not the love of the truth. God sends them a Jimmy DeYoung, John MacArthur, Swindoll, Church, isn't that nice? J.R. Church, huh? All these men teaching such perverted gospel, and Christ, people are not going to be here. God is never going to give this earth over to the devil. Never, never. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and He's going to keep His people, on this earth, and maintain their claim and gain their inheritance. He's never going to do that, my friend. Let Satan have complete control. He's going to establish his dominion. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Dominion, power, and glory be to the Lord our God. You're listening to the Overcomer and the voice of the Last Day Prophet. The last day, the last time, and soon it will be finally the last time.
Question.
And yeah.
How's your memory?
Am I the prophet that said there were no dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Hey, are you the guy that just said Mary's in the grave?
Yes.
You know what? You're a false prophet. You're just like Jesus said. I'm not afraid to have an argument with you on the phone and in front of a bunch of people. You're a whitewashed sepulcher. I think you got some demons with you.
Bless
I'm
you.
Not afraid of you or your demons.
Woo! Run. Boo, 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 boo.
Clear.
I took you off the air. You're not on.
You know,
I just shut him right up. I'm sure he's not a Catholic. Nah, he would be a Catholic. Catholic would talk like that, would they? Again, we go right back to my favorite scripture. He that sits on the circle of the earth shall laugh. There we are. I am constantly working day by day, night after night, simply because I do believe. My name is Brother Stair, and I do believe, in spite of myself, I'm an unbelieving man. I can't only believe in much that I'm doing. And but I do believe that it's God's doing. And since I'm talking to a world that does not believe in God, how do you persuade them? How do you do it? Unless God persuades, unless God moves, unless God convinces the gainsayer by the Holy Spirit, by happenings and things like that, I don't have words, ability, opportunity to do it. He that builds a house, if he builds it on his own strength, his own knowledge, his own understanding, he builds it in vain. Period. I've learned that over the years. So I am not building the house. Although God, I believe, is building his church using this voice and this mouth unto the churches, I speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming to the last time. We really are. And whether I want to believe it or not, this is going to end. I'm 80 years old. I have no delusion about living another 10, 15, or 20 years. Do I believe that God could keep me alive that long? Absolutely. He's going to keep me alive for eternity when I get done with this one. So God is well able. He kept Methuselah alive for 960-some years. I think it was Adam, over 600 years. So, and then there was others who lived 400 years. But in our time, because of sin and rebellion, the lifespan has been reduced down to rare indeed. Very rare. I've already lived 80 years. I've lived the 70 years promised by God, and the 10, he said, would be borrowed or given for his purpose. So that's where I am. But I have no disillusion about how long I'm going to live in this life. I'm going to live forever, I pray and believe, in the life or the world that is to come. I'm working or being used of God to finalize his work on this earth. And so he has this voice, the voice that you're listening to, of this old man who is waiting for redemption in Israel. And had been told that I would not die until I see the Redeemer, the promised redemption. Then I will die. And that redemption, that time of redemption, is drawing nigh. How do I know that? Because of the infallible word of Almighty God, who says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you look up and rejoice, for your redemption is drawing nigh. What things? What things are you talking about, God, Father, invisible Creator? What things? And I have gone over that with you hundreds of times. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? Did you hear that? Isn't that a very simple question? Why should it not stir some interest in your heart? The world is in disarray. Families are being destroyed. Thousands are dying. Millions are being destroyed by the culture of our day. Death and dying is everywhere. Calamity, tragedy, heartache, pain, and suffering in this world. You don't know that? Are you so blinded to the happenings taking place around about you? What things? Tell us what things. Why, he said, the first thing you got to watch is the massive deception. The massive deception. Evil men. What is evil? Evil. Evil men and seducers shall wax or become stronger, harder. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Worse? Spiritual. Wickedness. Wickedness in high places. The whole world lies in wickedness. And the wickedness is so great in all the earth. So great. So magnificent. So magnified. Everywhere. In the church. Amongst the people of God. Amongst the heathen. We bite. We devour. It's just... You all that way. There's a little good, all of us. No good at all. None. Man is totally depraved. And I'm talking about you and me. We need to be saved. But man doesn't believe that. He's going to save himself. You know that. We got great medical knowledge. We're even learning how to... How to produce other human beings, don't we, huh? We take the DNAs. I saw yesterday where they had a picture of a man and a gorilla having a sexual relationship and producing another man. Wow. The minds of men, so corrupt. Men of corrupt mind, destitute concerning the truth. That is the truth. Of course, there's not too many people that love the truth. So when someone speaks the truth, they hate, they despise, they reject, they resist the truth. Now, because I believe it's coming to the last time, is the reason why this is Brother Stair. I'm an old man. I keep telling you that. In just a few months, I'll be 81 years old. I've been kept alive for the purpose of which I am purposing this broadcast. This one man is heard all the time.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the International Worldwide Broadcast, The Overcomer. And this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. This broadcast reaches the entire world. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, comes into your country, your place, on this frequency at this time, every day. I would like to just give some information on how you can help us to continue this broadcast. One way is to contact us. Somehow let us know where you are and what you're listening at or what frequency you're tuned into or what source of broadcast. One worldwide way to check in with us is to go to our website if you have the opportunity to go to our website. There on the website is a contact page that you can click on, send me an email. There on the website also is information concerning the Overcomer broadcast. The website is very simple. You just go to www.overcomerministry. That's M-I-N-I-S-T-R-Y. Overcomerministry.org. And like I say, just explore the website, go to our contact page, and send me an email if you like. I'd appreciate it. Another way is to give us a telephone call if you have access to the phone. Our phone number is 001. That's U.S. code 001-843-701-5053. You can call that number anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That telephone number again is U.S. code 1-843-701-5053. I'd appreciate it if you're listening at this time on this particular frequency or station, you just take the time to contact us.
With financial